This is CFBX 92.5 FM, Campus Community Radio, in and serving Kamloops, British Columbia.
Again, and welcome to another edition of Loopholes on 92.5 FM, CFBX in Kamloops, British Columbia. I'm Chris Albanati.
And I'm Jay Midgey.
And we're just two first-year law students here at Thompson Rivers University with a radio show.
Yep, they set us loose.
Today we've got an interesting topic to talk to you all about. We want to talk to you about the issue of elections.
Right. Elections being as how at least one of us is in the midst of some form of election fever.
At least one. We'll leave it up to you guys to decide which of the two is more politically sounding over the airwaves. I'm pointing at Jay. You can't see it, but he's got a very fancy curl. You also can't see that over the radio, and a tie today. So he's looking very handsome.
Presidential, you might even say.
You might even say. But on the topic of elections, we wanted to talk about a local story that was on the front of the Kamloops Daily News, I think today or the other day, and is very interesting. Jay, why don't you tell us about it?
That's right. So the Kamloops Daily News is reporting that Kamloops will be the first city in British Columbia, possibly Western Canada, to feature Braille ballots at all of its polling stations.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's really incredible. Actually, there's a fellow by the name of Todd Harding, he's referenced in this article, who was subjected to basically having to ask his partner to read his ballot for him. He's had to do this for 31 years as a voter, and he said enough is enough. I guess he must have approached folks at City Hall, and he was appointed to the mayor's advisory committee for persons with disabilities, and this is the outcome. So on November 19th, not only Mr. Harding, but all roughly 300 visually impaired persons in the city of Kamloops will be able to fill out their ballot without support from a friend or family member.
And this story, beyond just being sort of a convention now for accessibility of elections, has some background to it. Something down under.
Right, and I'm not sure if there's any actual connection between the two stories, but what we would say in law is that they are analogous cases. So there's a fellow, this comes from the Sydney Morning Herald, an actual article from 2008, about a fellow there named Darren Bittler, who was similarly subjected to the humiliation of having to have someone else read his ballot for him. And he actually did something very novel. He sued the Electoral Commission.
Well done, Darren.
Yeah, so actually in Australia, if you do not vote, many people will know this, if you do not vote in Australia, you actually get fined. The Electoral Commission will send you a bill in the mail. That is your punishment for not encouraging the politicians on, I guess. But so turning that on its head, Mr. Fittler actually sued the Electoral Commission successfully and was awarded $5,000 in damages. Not sure if they changed their policy in Sydney, but we certainly won't have to deal with that in Kamloops.
No, no one's going to be suing Kamloops for inaccessibility to ballots.
At least not for any kind of physical impairment.
But fines for not voting is kind of an interesting concept, don't you think?
Definitely.
In Canada, would you find that unconstitutional?
I don't think so.
To impose a fine for not exercising your democratic right?
No, we don't have a tradition for that in Canada.
No.
But I couldn't. At first glance, of course, I am not a legal professional, but
no.
At first glance, prima facie, as we'd say, it wouldn't appear for there to be any kind of impingement on your constitutional rights if we were to exercise a minimal fine for persons not voting.
Prima facie. PrimaFacie. Most of the listeners won't know this, in fact, from two episodes. How could you? But Jay is a Latin buff, as they call it, and I think we should start a segment today, Latin terms with Jay, and he's gonna bring a new Latin term every week, and he's going to spell it for us and explain what it means.
Sounds good.
So prima facie, tell us just a little bit about prima facie. You said what it means at first glance, but expand.
Yeah, actually, at first glance or at its face.
Okay.
So how something appears the very first time you see it. And then, of course, as lawyers and legal scholars like to do, we don't stop there. We continue to analyze and analyze until other issues are uncovered. And so that prima facie, that first look at something, is still important, but it doesn't surmount to the end determination on a subject.
Interesting.
Right.
Do-do-do, this has been Latin Terms with Jay Mitchie on CFBX.
I can tell that people are just going to wait with bated breath for that segment.
For next week, if you have Latin terms that you perhaps might like clarified, you can send them to us. loopholes.tru@gmail.com is the way to get a hold of us.
Loopholes.
We're going to go to a track now, and we'll see you when we get back.
Now, if you want higher wages, let me tell you what to do. You got to talk to the workers in the shop with you. You got to build you a union, got to make it strong. But if you all stick together, boys, it won't be long. You get shorter hours, better working conditions, vacations with pay, take your kid to the seashore. It ain't quite this simple, so I better explain just why you got to ride on the union train. Cause if you wait for the boss to raise your pay, we'll all be a-waiting till Judgment Day. We'll all be buried, gone to heaven. St. Peter'll be the straw boss then. Now you know you're underpaid, but the boss says you ain't. He speeds up the work till you're about to faint. You may be down and out, but you ain't beaten. You can pass out a leaflet and call a meeting, talk it over. Speak your mind, decide to do something about it. course, the boss may persuade some poor damn fool to go to your meeting and act like a stool, but you can always tell a stool, though, that's a fact. He's got a yaller streaker running down his back. He doesn't have to stool. He'll always get along on what he takes out of blind men's cups. You got a union now and you're sitting pretty. Put some of the boys on the steering committee. The boss won't listen when one guy squawks, but he's got to listen when the union talks. He'd better be mighty lonely. Everybody decide to walk out on him. Suppose the working you so hard it's just outrageous, and they're paying you all starvation wages. You go to the boss and the boss would yell, before I raise your pay I'd see you all in hell. Well, he's puffing a big cigar, feeling mighty slick, cause he thinks he's got your union lick. Well, he looks out the window and what does he see but 1,000 pickets, and they all agree he's a bastard. Unfair! Slave driver. Bet he beats his wife. Now, boys, you come to the hardest time. The boss will try to bust your picket line. He'll call out the police, the National Guard. They'll tell you it's a crime to have a union card. They'll raid your meeting. They'll hit you on the head. They'll call every one of you a damn red unpatriotic. Japanese spies. Sabotaging national defense. But out at Ford, here's what they found. And out at Vulti, here's what they found. And out at Alice Chalmers, here's what they found. And down at Bethlehem, here's what they found. That if you don't let red baiting break you up, and if you don't let stool pigeons break you up, and if you don't let vigilantes break you up, and if you don't let race hatred break you up, you'll win. What I mean, take it easy, but take it.
This is CFBX 92.5 FM, Campus Community Radio, in and serving Kamloops, British Columbia.
And we're back here on Loopholes, CFBX 92.5 FM. I'm Chris Albanetti here with Jay Michie, and we've been talking about elections throughout the show. We wanted to let you in on the fact that by this time next week, the world will look remarkably different.
Seven countries will look remarkably different.
Hey, one country, seven countries, 70 countries. When you're talking about democracy, there is never any number that isn't important. But the world will look a little bit different this time next week, and Jay's going to fill us in on which countries and when. But first, maybe just a rundown of our local, we're thinking of provincial-wise now, elections. BC will have some kind of election in 2013. When people for Christy Clark, our current premier, they can show their support and reaffirm that on that date, whatever it is. Or those against will have a couple years to plot and come out against it. So that's on the provincial side. Alberta just had their election, electing the first...
Let's back up. The provincial Tories selected their leader.
All right.
A lot of Albertans get confused. They think that that is the general election.
It feels like it sometimes.
But unfortunately for the Tories, they do have to have a general election following the selection of their leadership candidate, who always becomes the premier. That happens, just as in the case of Christy Clark and the Liberal Party here. But yeah, Alison Redford, first female premier of Alberta.
So. Second premier fluent in French.
That's what they're saying. So,
bienvenue, Alberta.
Yeah, there is actually some francophone communities out there, I'm sure.
Lots. Bonnyville is fully francophone. The town of Falaire, where my grandfather grew up in, very francophone.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, it'll be 2 years before the next provincial election in the province of British Columbia. Probably about a year before Albertans go to the polls. Federally, we've got four or five years, maybe longer, before the next federal election. So we wanted to, since we wanted to keep talking about elections, we went to one of my newest favorite websites, electionguide.org, And it gives up-to-date information on where in the world elections are happening. So if you just can't wait for the next election to happen in your own hometown or province, you can zero in on something that's happening in a place like Kiribati.
Kiribati.
Which is a country I have to admit I was not very familiar with until just now. But Kiribati is actually having an election next Friday.
Where is Kiribati?
It's actually just off the coast of Australia. So presumably there you could also get a blind ballot.
Interesting.
If that judicial occurrence actually has any effect in Kiribati. But anyways, they're having a parliamentary second round election in Kiribati, one of a handful of countries that is having elections next week. Interestingly, a lot of these places, and I'll just give a little rundown of some of these places that are having elections next week. Argentina is having a presidential election next week.
Wow.
Switzerland is having a parliamentary election. Ireland is actually having a presidential election next week. And interestingly enough, they're also having a referendum on judges' salaries there. Constitutional amendments to judges' salaries.
Austerity measure?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. I'm hoping that the entire judicial salary of the Republic of Ireland is not actually pushing them into insolvency. But interesting that that's come up. Tunisia is having an election, as is Bulgaria. And it's unfortunate we didn't bring. We have a class member who's actually from Bulgaria.
Yes,
maybe she could have given us a little bit of insight into that. Tony, yeah, is her name.
Maybe next week.
Actually, because the election is on Monday, so we'll see.
A little debrief on the election then, maybe.
That's actually the only one. Actually, most of these elections happen on Sunday. I think you and I, Chris, were really just talking about how that is interesting, because in Canada, it's our tradition to host elections on Mondays.
Yeah.
When people are fresh back at work and they're rested, and we can only imagine what would happen if we were to change that and have people expected to cast their ballots on Sundays.
More people might vote, do you think?
Or maybe less.
Because there's always that talk. Every year it's a story. How am I supposed to leave work and make it to the polls in time to vote?
Well, your work must give you 3 hours to go to vote.
That's true.
So that's not legal advice. That is fact.
Yeah.
So I have taken liberty of that right before, much to the chagrin of my employer.
Yeah.
And when I've been an employer, I have made sure that all the employees that were under my supervision were allowed to go and vote.
Encourage the encourage. 3 hours to go vote.
But Sundays, nice. You know, Sundays are days that people like to sit around at home sometimes and not go out.
Engage in their own private democracy.
That's right. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, do you have thoughts on voting on Sundays? If you do, you can drop us a line at loopholes.tru@gmail.com.
Red Drum, a table full of beers, a few that is, and all the gangs cutting in and out, paying a dollar quarter at the door, the little hip pretending weasel there taking tickets, Paddy Cordovan floating in as prophesied, a big tall blonde brakeman type subterranean from eastern Washington, cowboy looking in jeans coming into a wild generation party all smoky and mad. And I yelled, Paddy Cordovan? And yeah! And he come over and we're all sitting together, interesting groups at various tables, Julian, Roxanne, a woman of 25, prophesying the future style of America with short, almost crew cut, but with curls, black snaky hair, snaky walk, pale, pale, junky, anemic face, and we say junky when once Dostoevsky would have said what, if not ascetic or saintly, but not in the least, but the cold, pale booster face of the cold blue girl, and wearing a man's white shirt with the cuffs undone, untied at the buttons, so I remember her leaning over talking to someone after having slinked across the floor with flowing, propelled shoulders. Bending to talk with her hand holding a short butt, and the neat little flick she was giving it to knock ashes, but repeatedly with long, long fingernails, an inch long and also orient and snake-like. groups of all kinds in Ross Wallenstein, the crowd, and up on the stand, Bird Parker, with solemn eyes, who'd been busted fairly recently and had now returned to a kind of bop-dead city, but had just discovered or been told about the Red Drum, the Open Door, the great new generation gang wailing and gathering there, so here he was on the stand examining them with his eyes as he blew his now settled down into regulated design crazy notes. The booming drums, the high ceiling. And Adam, for my sake, dutifully cutting out at about 11 o'clock so he could go to bed and go to work in the morning, after a brief cutout with Patty and me for a quick 10-cent beer at Roaring Pantera's, where Patty and I in our first talk and laughter together pulled wrists. Now Mardu, cut out with me, glee-eyed, between sets for quick beers, but at her insistence at the Mask instead, where they were 15 cents, but she had a few pennies herself, and we went there and began earnestly talking and getting high-tingled together, and now it was the beginning. Returning to the Red Drum for sets, to hear Bird, whom I saw now distinctly digging Mardu several times also myself, directly into my eye, looking to search if really I was that great nut I thought myself to be, as if he knew my thoughts and ambitions or remembered me from other nightclubs and other coasts, other Chicagos. Not a challenging look, but the king and founder of the bop generation at least, the sound of it, and digging his audience, digging the eyes, the secret eyes, him watching, as he just pursed his lips and let great lungs and immortal fingers work, his eyes separate and interested and humane, the kindest jazz musician there could be while being and therefore naturally the greatest. Watching Mardu and me in the infancy of our love and probably wondering why or knowing it wouldn't last or seeing who it was would be hurt, as now, obviously, but not quite yet, it was she whose eyes were shining in my direction, though I could not have known and now do not definitely know.
This is CFBX 92.5 FM, Campus Community Radio, in and serving Kamloops, British Columbia. We'll be right back.
talking about elections today on the show. We've got another interesting story for you in terms of accessibility to elections. Jay, what did you find for us?
Well, yeah, Chris, just before the break there, we were talking about the right of an individual who is visually impaired to be able to walk into a polling station and cast a ballot without needing assistance from their spouse or friend or relative.
Right, yeah, in that circumstance, he needed his spouse to come in and help him vote.
Yeah, this fellow in Kamloops here, Todd Harding, who led up this initiative, awesome initiative, to ensure that all ballots in the next upcoming municipal election, all voting stations, rather, will have Braille ballots. So we just wanted to carry on that theme, taking it from someone with a physical disability to someone with a cognitive disability. And there is actually quite a bit of research out there on the World Wide Web about what's being done in relation to specifically elderly persons with cognitive impairment and the difficulties and the impediments they have to overcome when they go to cast a ballot. So very interesting, some very interesting work, particularly being done by the Canadian Journal of Elder Law. That's being headed up by a lady whom I have met before named Elaine Gallagher, who is from the University of Victoria. Wow. Doing a lot of work in elder studies and aging. And so that just I would put that out to the listener to go look up some of that research. www.bcli.org is where you would go to find the Canadian Journal of Elder Law. And they... Yeah, just a very interesting discussion out there. So obviously it extends to not just seniors with cognitive impairment, but all people with cognitive impairment who are nevertheless still wanting to exercise their democratic right to vote.
Wow.
And what steps we need to take to make sure that they can do that.
Do they provide any remedy for such people, or is it simply just talking about this the issue at hand?
Well, in this particular publication that I was referencing, they actually come up with 9 specific recommendations.
Wow.
And I'll leave it to the listener to investigate those themselves.
Give me your favorite of the 9. No?
No.
All right, we'll be back after this.
I'm premeditating crime of a personal kind. I'm about to go out of my mind. I'm just about sick to death of taking breath and walking this line of mine. Now folks that know what's good for them are good at ignoring them, but I just can't put these thoughts down. I'm harrowed and abused and broken and pursued by this notion that follows me around. My heart is hurting, my spirit's burdened. I feel like a liar and a thief for taking air, for being here unwanted. I look for my final release. Goodbye, goodbye, California. Goodbye, and I'll be moving on. I sang you my songs, I know I'm wrong. Fare thee well, and I'll be going on. Dad and God, my immortal home, will hold me in its bosom safe and cold. No more desires will light their fires or disturb my immaculate calm. And the birds of the air and the beasts of the soil on the fishes of the desperate sea. We'll know who I am, and our substance will expand as part of everything. As part of everything, my God, as part of everything. And the clouds will roll, and the wind will blow, and the beautiful birds will sing. Goodbye, goodbye, California. Goodbye to your waving trees, to your succulent wind, and all my friends, fare thee well. Goodbye, so be it.
Changes numbers, it's time to go.
And for a year, she was handed by me the pastor I've to wait to change her future's fate. Even now when the false gets true and living colors seem possible to you, when the flag changes color, the language noise, when the month changes numbers, it's time.
This is CFBX 92.5 FM, Campus Community Radio in and serving Kamloops, British Columbia.
True Dat, the university's drama and theater club, presents Zombies, a theatrical production probably unlike anything you have experienced before. It all begins with two Kamloops hikers who stumble onto a secret government operation located underground just outside university property. A virus breaks out on the campus and threatens to infect everyone, even the audience. The production runs Sunday and Monday, October 30th and 31st, in the Actors Workshop Theater in Old Main. The doors open at 6:45 both nights for ticket sales, only $5 per person, and showtime is at 7.
Sans compter nos morts, qu'on laisse derrière des ébauches fanées, des secrets de carrière. Et trois par trois, de nos cœurs essoufflés, des secousses folles qu'on réfléchit plus tard. Maintenant il faut rêver. Et je ne sais plus à quoi penser. C'est dur d'être libre comme toi. Et je ne sais plus à qui penser. C'est fini, rhabille-toi. Et deux par deux, on avale nos mots. C'est dur d'oublier ce que l'on connaît et ce qui imprègne nos peaux. Et trois par trois, nos cœurs de la partie. On joue au couteau et on peut partager le même lit. Et je ne sais plus à quoi penser. C'est dur d'être libre comme toi. Et je ne sais plus à qui penser. C'est fini, ravis-toi. Et je ne sais plus à quoi penser. C'est dur d'être libre comme toi. Et je ne sais plus à qui penser. C'est fini, rhabille-toi. Deux par deux, on avale nos mots. C'est dur d'oublier ce que l'on a connu qui a imprégné nos peaux. Et trois par trois, nos cœurs de la partie. On joue au couteau et on peut partager le même lit.
This is CFBX 92.5 FM, Campus Community Radio, in and serving Kamloops, British Columbia.
Take a trip with me in 1913 to Calumet, Michigan, in the copper country. I'll take you to a place called Italian Hall, and the miners are having their big Christmas ball. I'll take you in a door and up a high stairs. Singing and dancing is heard everywhere. I'll let you shake hands with the people you see and watch the kids dance round the big Christmas tree. You ask about work and you ask about pay. They'll tell you they make less than a dollar a day. Working their copper claim, risking their lives. So it's fun to spend Christmas with children and wives. There's talking and laughing and songs in the air, and the spirit of Christmas is there everywhere. Before you know it, you're friends with us all, and you're dancing around and around in the hall. Well, a little girl sits down by the Christmas tree lights to play the piano, so you gotta keep quiet. Hear all this fun, you would not realize that the copper boss thug men are milling outside. The copper boss thugs stuck their heads in the door. One of them yelled and he screamed, "There's a fire." A lady, she hollered, "There's no such a thing. Keep on with your party, there's no such a thing." A few people rushed and it's only a few. It's just the thugs and the scabs fooling you. A man grabbed his daughter and he carried her down, but the thugs held the door and he could not get out. And then others followed, 100 or more, but most everybody remained on the floor. The gun thugs, they laughed at their murderous joke, while the children were smothered on the stairs by the door. Such a terrible sight I never did see. We carried our children back up to their tree. The scabs outside still laughed at their spree, and the children that died there was 73. The piano played a slow funeral tune, and the town is lit up by a cold Christmas moon. The parents, they cried, and the miners, they moaned. See what your greed for money has done.
The True Environmental Science Seminar Series continues on Thursday, October 20th, with a presentation by Dr. Nguyen So, Assistant Professor, Mathematics and Statistics Department, True Faculty of Science. The topic is the dynamics of simple laissez-faire model with two predators, and the talk will be given at 3:30 p.m. in room S203 in the Science Building. This is a free event, and everyone is welcome to attend.
Pink socks. Sorry, 'cause I'm already home. I'll get rid of this on my own. Oh, dropping stuff, I'm in my car. You won't tell me who you are. Stop me if I've said it before. I keep my secret stash in the drawer. Oh,
tell me who you are. Stop me if I've said it before. I keep my secret stash in the drawer.
Oh,
Well, this has been another edition of Blue Pulse on CFBX 92.5 FM. We want to thank you all for tuning in, whether it's through the FM dial, over Shaw Cable at 106.1, or over the web, streaming live around the world, instantaneously at www.thex.ca.
I'm Jamie Itchie.
I'm Chris Albanati.
And we appreciate you putting up with us today, especially with the pre-recorded can.
That's right, yeah. Pre-recorded in the can, almost.
We promise that we will get back to live recordings as soon as possible.
Yes, we have these next two shows will be pre-recorded, much to our chagrin, of course, but we always love doing live radio. So we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Take it easy.
This is CFBX 92.5 FM Campus Community Radio in and serving Kamloops, British Columbia.